Okay, today for the Tamar Halacha Show, we're going to discuss OCD in Halacha. Now, it may not sound like a Halacha category, but as someone who answers people's questions, I was always taught as a kid that when you ask shailas, you're supposed to ask all your shailas to the same person. I was a little surprised to learn that there is actually no such Halacha, that you're supposed to ask all your shailas to the same person. So why do people advise? There is halach, you're not allowed to go shopping, that if someone tells you asr, you're not allowed to go to another chacham who's going to tell you mutter, but there's no halach that you have to ask all your shaylos to the same person. So why do people advise that? One reason people advise it is that you might want to go to someone who has the same mahalich in halacha, so that you don't have stiras in the way that you behave. That you'd want to go. Rabbi Balzman pointed this out to me on Shabbos, that you know you may not even know that there are stiras in two different psakim because it's two different areas of halacha, but maybe based on two different mahalchim toward paskani halachas. But another reason, just telling from someone coming from the other side, from a person who gets asked questions, is that two people could ask the same question sometimes, and depending on their personality, the answer might be different. Not because the halacha is different, but because they mean different things by the words that they say. Meaning, a person might say, "I think I might have forgotten Ritzay and Benjamin. I might have forgotten Yalav Yavam. I might have forgotten the Saint Talamatul of Racha." So, some people, when they say that, they mean, "I'm pretty sure I forgot it." Some people, when they say that, they mean that, "I don't know. Who knows? Maybe I forgot. Maybe I didn't." But there's like 99.9% sure that they remember it. But there is this chance that they may. And you just have to know the personality of who you're talking to. So, the issue of OCD amongst people is obviously a general mental health issue, but it's particularly challenging in our religion because we have a very detail-oriented religion. Halacha governs everything we do in life, and therefore it gives so much room for expression of OCD through the observance of halacha. For example, you find a lot of times someone will say Kriya Shema or Shemona Esrei or Brachos over and over again because they didn't say the words exactly right, and it'll take hours just to get through the Kriya Shema or just to get through Shemona Esrei because they're sure that they have mispronounced the words. Or when it comes to Hilchos Nida, a Taras HaMishpacha, a woman doing Bedikos or a Chafifa, preparing her body for the mikvah where she has to make sure she has no Chatzitzos. So a woman will sit in a bath for 5 hours making sure because she's concerned that maybe this is a Chatzitza, maybe that's a Chatzitza, and she'll come out like a prune, and she's gonna, you know, and she totally mess up her entire day. Or sometimes you have people who obsess over thoughts that maybe they don't really believe in Hashem, that maybe they're a kofer, maybe they believe in things that are apikorsis, and they just can't get those thoughts out of their mind that maybe what I believe is apikorsis, and they think about that, and they think about, am I an apikorsis? Am I not an apikorsis? Or like we said before, a person who is always uncertain. Maybe he forgot the Saint Talamat, or maybe he forgot Mashav Ruach, something like that. So there's obviously no siman in Shulchan Aruch that talks about OCD, but there are certain principles in halacha that will guide any discussion of the topic. One principle in halacha is lo nitna Torah l'malachei asharis, that the Torah is not given to malachei asharis. We're not expected to be perfect, we're expected to be human. And to the extent that we're expected to be very good human beings, we're expected to be very well-behaved human beings, but we're expected to be human, we're not expected to be malachim. Perfection is not something that we can expect from ourselves. Another principle in halacha, Rav Willig pointed out in a talk he gave on the topic, and I saw the Stipler writes in many of his letters. The Stipler, more than anyone else, has like dozens of letters about OCD, or not really about OCD, but dealing with people who have OCD and advising them on how to deal with whatever issue they were struggling with. And one of the things the Stipler says is, and Rav Willig points this out as well, is that we not only have a Mesorah, let's say, that tefillin has to be black, halacha l'moshe misinai, or something like that, we have a Mesorah on how to behave, on what's considered normal behavior. And our grandfathers and our great-grandfathers didn't daven Shemona Esrei for 7 hours because they wouldn't say every word 15 times because they were afraid that maybe they mispronounced it. That was never the way a Jew behaved. That wasn't part of our behavior. We have a Mesorah on the proper way to behave as well, and the proper way of doing things is to be normal. And if that's now obviously if someone's just struggling with a condition, you don't just say be normal and then everything is cured. Oh, that's all I need to do is be normal. Okay, thank you very much. It doesn't work that way. There's therapy, there's medication, and you should and a person should get that kind of help. But a person shouldn't celebrate. A lot of times we find that in certain communities there's a celebration. celebration of OCD. Like, that's tzidkus. You know, that the person is sitting, he says Kriya Shema for 3 hours. That means he has a problem. That doesn't mean it's a good thing. That means that he has a real problem if he's saying Kriya Shema for 3 hours. I was reading a Gadol biography once, and they were saying he was such a tzaddik that he'd wash his hands every 5 minutes, and he'd spend 3 hours in the bathroom making sure he's totally clean. He has OCD. That's textbook. I mean, that's not even debatable. I mean, it's mamish. You open up a textbook about OCD. That's exactly what. So we shouldn't celebrate it. We should try to get someone like that help. That such a person would require assistance to get better. We also have a concept, though, on the other side, having medaktik b'mitzvah kalak b'chamura. Diktuk in mitzvot is something that's very important. Being very precise and very careful about how we observe mitzvot is very important. And it's a fine line. A person has to know when it's taking over his life to the point that he can't function, and when he's just being very careful in his avodas Hashem. It's a very, very fine line that we have to draw. There's also Gemara Maseches Pesachim. The Gemara tells us that when you're doing bedikas chametz, so let's say I check this room for chametz, I'm doing the bedikah in the yeshiva, right? So I check this room for chametz, then I go on to the classrooms, start checking the classrooms. Well, wait a second, maybe after I checked this room for chametz and I was walking to the classroom, maybe a mouse took a piece of chametz from one of the classrooms and ran in here and dropped the chametz here. So maybe I have to check this room again. And then maybe after that. So maybe we should get everyone, we should all spread out, get each guy in the yeshiva to go to a different room, and we'll all check all the rooms at the same time. But then maybe a mouse will bring a piece of chametz from another building. And maybe we get even the whole city to check at the same time. Maybe he's coming a year later. So the Gemara says, Ein ladavar sof. That you get to a point where you're going to be concerned about every possibility, there's going to be no end to it. And we don't have to worry about the Ein L'Davar Sof types of concerns. We have to be worried about normal concerns. But that's something that would be Ein L'Davar Sof. It's also important to note that very often a person thinks he's going to be so frum by expressing his OCD in Judaism, but a lot of times it's a chumrah maybe with dekula. So a person is going to spend 3 hours saying Shema, and how much learning did he miss while he was saying Shema? How much tefillah b'tzibur did he miss while he was spending his 3 hours saying Shema? Or someone obsesses over being able to understand shir, let's say, in yeshivas. It's sometimes the people who have, again, it comes out in different ways. Sometimes people who are obsessive compulsive cannot get over the idea that they may not understand something in a shir. And after a while, they just won't come to shir because they can't go and not understand something. And especially the style in many yeshivas nowadays is that the more non-understandable the shir is, the better it's considered. Meaning if everyone comes into shir and understands, then it's not such a good shir. But if people come in and they're really thoroughly confused, then that's a good shir. Well, that doesn't help the guy who's not going to, who's going to obsess over the fact that he doesn't understand shir. So it is often the chumra maybe the dekula. Why am I talking about this topic now? Rav Asher Weiss just came out with the second chelik of Minchas Asher, and it was the first tshuva I've ever seen that directly addresses OCD. He directly deals with it, and he calls it by OCD. The Stipler has all these letters, doesn't call it OCD, just like deals with it, and Stipler with such pikchus, such insight into how to deal. It was mamish like written by a psychologist, the Stipler's letters. All the psychologists say he gives exactly the right advice to each person. But Rav Asher was dealing with the following shaila. Talmud Chacham is told that the best treatment for his OCD is to never ever repeat words in his brachos. So he says, but I know I mispronounce Hashem's name. So if I know I mispronounce Hashem's name, I'm sure I got it wrong. But the treatment for my OCD is that I'm never allowed to repeat it. But the halacha is that I have to repeat it because I got it wrong. So what do I do? Do I follow the halacha or do I follow my treatment? So Rav Asher says, you follow the treatment. Against the halacha. Even if you're sure that you got it wrong. Against the halacha. Why? What's the svar? How can you just tell someone to go against the halacha? So he says three possible svaras. First of all, he says the halacha is that when it comes to spending money on mitzvahs, a person does not have to spend more than 20% of his income on a given mitzvah. Well, his money shouldn't be more important to him than his mental health. If you don't spend more than 20% of your money on a mitzvah, you shouldn't have to spend your mental health on a mitzvah. You shouldn't have to lose your mental health for the sake of doing a mitzvah. So that's svara number one. And he says the idea of saying a bracha is a mitzvah saseh. It's not an isser, it's not a los saseh, it's a mitzvah saseh. So there's a limit to how much you have to give up. Second svari, he says, Chazal have an expression when they discuss the idea of being Mechal Shabbos to save somebody's life. Why are you allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save somebody's life? So Chazal say, the Gemara of Shabbos, Mutav Sheichal of Shabbos Achas Kadei Sheyishmer Shabbos Os Harbe. That you should be Mechal this one Shabbos so that the person will be able to observe many other Shabbosos. So yes, we're sacrificing a halacha right now. But we're sacrificing this halacha right now so that the person will be able to do many other mitzvos. That the person won't go out of his mind, that he'll be able to function normally. And as someone is functioning normally, he'll then be able to accomplish so much more. He quotes Chassam Sofer in a tshuva in Archaim Sim Pei Gimel. Chassam Sofer talks about institutionalizing someone in a place that doesn't have any kosher food. And the Chassam Sofer says, what's the other option? That he should stay a shota kol yamav? That he should remain a shota forever and never be chayiv in mitzvos? Better to have him sacrifice the iser of eating non-kosher now in order that he should be able to function, in order that he should be able to be a person. And therefore, he'll become chayiv in kol mitzvos, and he'll be able to do so much more in the long run. If I'm not mistaken, Chassam Sofer maybe at the end of that tshuva says that eating macholos asurus may be worse, and it may be different, and it may be asur because of timtum alev. But in general, violating isurim in order to keep the long run take the long run into account is something that's a worthwhile exchange. And the third svari, he says, is a gemara that tells us in Maseches Nazir Chav Gimel, gedola avera l'shma, that sometimes a person does an avera, but it's l'shem shemayim, and we celebrate the avera, that it's a good avera if it's done l'shma. The problem with using gedola avera l'shma is that what exactly are the gedarim of gedola avera l'shma? I need to eat a cheeseburger because it gives me koach to learn, and you know there's no other decent. The line of Dunkin' Donuts is out the door, so I got to go to the non-kosher Wendy's and I'll have a cheeseburger for breakfast, and then I'll be able to learn a good morning seder. It's an avera l'shma. No, we don't say that. So where do you draw the line on gedola avera l'shma? So Rav Asher suggests that we draw the line gedola avera l'shma in a makom di afshar, where there's really no other option. It's the only way out. It's the only way that could allow a person to function normally or to save Klal Yisrael, like in the case of Yael Eshes Chever Keni, where she was most herself la avera in order to save Klal Yisrael. You have to have some sort of gedder, but maybe that would work over here as well. So then this fellow wanted to know, okay, but maybe I should never eat a kedei sviya, I should never eat to satiation, so that I'll never be chayiv in birchas hamazon d'oraisa, and then I don't have to worry about the fact that I'm mispronouncing Hashem's name in the brachos, because I'm not going to be chayiv in birchas hamazon d'oraisa. Maybe I should do that. I should never eat a kedei sviya. Rav Asher says, that's your OCD asking that question. He doesn't say that. But that's that question, he says, yeah, so you're not going to eat a kedei sviya. Maybe you should eat less than a kezayis b'chtei achilas pras, so you're not even chayiv bracha achrona at all. Forget about d'oraisa. Maybe you should eat everything shlo kederach achil. You should just get an IV instead of eating, so you're never going to be chayiv in bracha achrona at all. Or maybe you should never sleep a shinas keva, so you're never going to be chayiv in birchas haTorah. I mean, that's the OCD mindset, that it's always the next, you know, the next concern, and the next concern, and the next concern. He says, no. Eat a kedei sviya. Be normal. Eat a normal, like a normal meal. You don't have to adjust your behavior. And then when you say brachos, you say it once and that's it. You don't say it more than one time. But the person says, what if I know that I said it wrong? Can I be motzi other people? If I know that I'm pronouncing Shem Hashem wrong, can I be motzi someone else in a bracha? You're telling me these hatayrim, that's for myself. So for myself, my long-term health. But if I'm being motzi my wife in Kiddush, it's not her long-term health. So how can I be motzi my wife in Kiddush? And on that, Rav Asher backs off and he says, you're right. She should make Kiddush. Your wife should make Kiddush for the family instead of you making Kiddush for the family. If you have guests, let the guests make Kiddush. Tell them, just like you wouldn't be embarrassed if you had an allergy to wine, to ask the guests to say Kiddush, you shouldn't be embarrassed to ask the guests to say Kiddush if you have OCD and you're worried that you're going to mispronounce the Shem Hashem. Now this psak is, again, the psakim of the Stipler and Rav Asher, where they have this sensitivity to what the disease is. Is a very critical psak, and it essentially says that the job of the rabbi is not to indulge the OCD, because that doesn't help the person. A rabbi, the Stipler says over and over again, should never explain why it's mutter to someone who he knows suffers from OCD. Just say, because I said so. I'm the rabbi, you're not, and that's enough. Because once you're explaining, yeah, but if it's only mutter because of that, then what about this? What about that? I mean, it's never because. It's just because I said so. He said that Rabbi Jonathan Schwartz said that there was a woman that would call every Erev Shabbos with 20 minutes before lich benching. Is it lich benching time yet? And he would say, no. How do you know? Because I checked the calendar. How do you know the calendar is right? How do you know that your clock is right? How do you know that? So you just say, because I'm the rabbi. I know because I'm the rabbi, and you know, I know better than you. So that's all. That's all you have to say. I was told the story once. Rabbi Shalom Rausner Mechavrusa told me that there's a guy who was getting shimush from Rav Mordechai Eliyahu in how to paskin Hilchas Nida. So he was in Rav Mordechai Eliyahu's office, and the phone rings, and he picks it up, and it's a woman asking a shaila about she went to the mikvah, and after she came out of the mikvah, she found some sort of chatzitza that she thinks might have been a problem, and she's not sure. And he said, you know what, this is a good shaila, let me ask Rav Mordechai Eliyahu. So he says to Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, there's a woman on the phone, she just came out of the mikvah, and this is, she thinks she found a chatzitza that would ruin the tevila. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu says, is it Mrs. So-and-so? And he says, hang on, let me check. What's your name? And she says her name. Yeah, it's Mrs. So-and-so. So Mordechai Eliyahu, how'd you know that? Were you Navi? Mordechai Eliyahu said, tell her, tagidla, shezahaya hatapuach. That was the apple. Hatapuach? Yeah, what are you talking about? He said, tagidla, just tell her it was the apple. So he gets on the phone, he says, slicha, giveret, harav amar, shezahaya hatapuach. The rabbi said it was the apple. She says, ah, todah, todah, thank you so much. And she hangs up the phone. So the rabbi says, what was that about? So he said, this woman has OCD. Every month after she goes to the mikvah, she's convinced that she found the chatzitza. So I told her years ago that every time she goes to the mikvah, she should bring an apple in her purse with her. And right after she finishes going to the mikvah, she should eat the apple. Right afterwards. So whenever she comes up with a problem, I say, don't worry, it was from the apple, it was from afterwards. It was, you have something stuck in your teeth because it was the apple that you ate afterwards. Someone, I told the story to someone, they said they know of mikvahs that hand out chewing gum for women who come out of the mikvah so that they could say, tagila shezehaya chewing gum, you know, that they'll mastik, right? that you could, to get around this problem. So again, it's a very complicated issue. It's very common in our community, and it's something that a person should be sensitive to know that when something is a healthy expression of observance of halacha, and we should always be on guard to make sure that our observance of halacha is medaktik b'mitzvah kalaki b'chamura, but it should be in a very healthy way, and not in a way that that becomes obsessive compulsive. And if it does become obsessive compulsive, then it's something that we need to seek help for.